Well, 2016 is gone, and I don't know what the year was like for you, but it seems like for a number of people that I know, it was a rough year. A lot of famous people died the past year. The year ended in our area with a tragic death of a law enforcement officer very close to home for us. And it was a tumultuous year politically and just a lot of uncertainty, a lot going on. And so the question is, what will 2017 bring? And some people are placing bets on whether we will have an alien invasion in 2017. That's one of the things you can find online. You can place bets on whether or not the world will end in 2017. And the question that comes to my mind is, if you place a bet that it will end and you're right, then how do you collect on that? I don't know. I'm guessing that there are probably more people who consider that question, not of the end of the world, but of what will 2017 bring. They face that question with some fatalism, as if all we can try to do is just try to accept whatever comes. And they pray it'll be a good year, but they struggle to have hope for that because the temptation to cynicism and even despair can really be strong. Hopefully, the Christian, the believer in Jesus Christ, looks at the future a little bit differently. There are reasons that we have for hope that others know nothing about. We have reason for a confident expectation that might even seem a little crazy to others, but it's real, it's true. And if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you have reason to face a new year with peace and even joy. It might seem even ridiculous to some. In the text, the Apostle Paul is contrasting the wisdom of the world with the wisdom that comes from the Spirit of God. And he says, the wisdom of this age, the rulers of this age, all that seems so important and trending and happening now, it's all coming to nothing. That's not where hope for the future is found. In fact, that's the kind of wisdom that led people to crucify Jesus. But for those who know God, that's where we find this. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him, but God's revealed it to us by his Spirit. Folks, I believe that applies not only to what God has prepared for us in heaven, all right, because that is going to be way beyond anything that we've ever imagined, but also I believe it applies to what God has prepared for us here in our lives on earth. The future, what lies ahead in 2017 and beyond for us. Folks, God does have good plans for us. But of course, we have to realize we have choices to make. People too often are at one extreme or the other. Either on the one hand, they don't believe God has anything planned, or they believe that he does, but we really don't have anything to do with it, but sit back until he chooses to do whatever he's going to do. No, neither of those are true. We have choices to make in regard to what God has planned, choices that matter. And there are many promises God has made in Scripture that have an if attached. They're conditional. They depend, at least partially, on us. And so, on the first day of a new year, I believe God wants us to dream a little. That's the title of the message today. Dream a little, okay? Because we need to think about what can be for 2017. What is possible in light of the fact that we have an awesome God. You know, years ago, parents assumed for the most part that their kids, the next generation, would have a better life than they did. And that could be a safe assumption for a number of generations, at least in the United States of America in recent history. But in more recent years, that has changed. The latest number I found was that today, 56% of parents believe that their kids are going to be worse off than they were. And that's a disturbing trend that people are watching. Now, that might be mostly in economic terms, but folks, even in the church, we can get into this mode of, well, let's just hang in there until Jesus comes back because it's all going downhill here. And we can be sour and negative and completely faithless that God could do anything good in this messed up world. Folks, that is not the perspective that God wants his people to have. Please, people, when we think about the future, I mean, we know there are prophecies about troubling things, but that is not a call to cynicism and negativism and all of that. Folks, let's remember we have a big God, and let's ask what his plans for the future are. Let's not give in to the cynicism, pessimism of the day. Let's dream a little about what God can do. That's one way to exercise our faith, right? And as I thought about this and what God says in his word about choices that we have to make that affect the future, issues that really matter as we consider how to face a new year, I thought about these four issues, choices about the future as we face 2017. And the first in your outline is this, fear or faith, all right? That's a choice, fear or faith. There's a lot of fear these days, fear of what the future holds. We get news of violence, of unrest, of natural disasters, of chaos, and that's just talking about the family Christmas gatherings, you know? But seriously, there's a lot to cause fear in a person if we think enough about all the forces at work in our world that can take something away from us. The powerlessness we feel in the face of so much evil around us, things that we can't fix ourselves, it can create a fear that can really paralyze us. But God doesn't want us to live like that, folks. That's why the most frequent command in Scripture is this, do not fear. Fear not. Do not be afraid. That is the most frequent command in Scripture. So God doesn't want us to fear. Instead, we can choose faith, trusting God with the future. It doesn't mean we know how any given thing will turn out. It doesn't give us more control directly over our world. But what it does give us is, what it does do is this. When we choose faith instead of fear, that choice on our part takes power away from the one who wants to keep us bound in fear. All right, it takes his power away, and it opens the door instead for God to work. And we say, God, you are awesome, you are good, and I believe you for good things. And that opens the door for him to bring them about. The things that we want to see happen in our world, the things that we long for most, the things that this world needs to have happen, those things happen, the Bible tells us, by faith. In Hebrews 11, that great faith chapter, after listing so many giants of faith, the writer says, you know, I don't have time to tell you about all of these people, and he lists many more, who through faith, it says, conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what was promised. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again, but others were tortured and refused to be released so they might gain a better resurrection. Folks, faith on the part of human beings matters in bringing about the great things that God wants to do. And even though some with faith will still face horrible things, but even for them, it only means a better resurrection, all right? Because they faced their trials with faith. It means a better resurrection, so it makes a difference. In the next life, such wonderful reward for that faith. So either way, folks, faith changes things in this life and in the next. So as we look to 2017, are you facing the coming year with fear or with faith? Choose wisely because it matters. Secondly, blessings or cursing? Blessing or cursing? As we face the future, another choice we have is this, to bless or to curse others. Now, it should be a no-brainer that blessing is what should come from God's people. But we can be deceived into thinking that it's okay to curse people that we disagree with, people who are doing wrong and so forth. And when I use that word curse, I'm not talking about just swear words. I'm talking about anything we speak negatively toward another, criticism that isn't constructive and all of that. To wish them ill, all right, that is to curse another person. In Psalm 109, David speaks about a man toward whom David had acted as a friend. But this man acted as an enemy in return. And of the many things that David says in that psalm, one of the things he says is this: he loved to pronounce a curse, may it come on him. And he found no pleasure in blessing, may it be far from him. You see, there's a principle here that too many people are unaware of. That people who bless others are more likely to have blessing come to them. And those who curse others and speak ill of them and criticize and so forth, they're the most likely to have negative things come back to them. That's why Scripture is so persistent in calling God's people to bless others, even those who absolutely don't deserve it. Just a few verses in Luke chapter 6. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Romans 12. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. In 1 Corinthians 4. When we are cursed, we bless. When we're persecuted, we endure it. Folks, there are those that I know do not like me, who have spoken ill of me, who have cursed me. And when I drive by their houses, there are things I may be tempted to say. But in my better moments, I've asked God's blessing on them for this very reason. Not because they deserve blessing, but because there's enough cursing in our world. There's enough anger and bitterness, and that helps no one. We need more blessing to flow. And if we're going to be called by Jesus' name, right? Take the name Christian, little Christs. Then we should do what Jesus did, and he blessed those who cursed him. He prayed for his enemies. And specifically, in regard to the future, we need to bless the next generations of the church, to encourage them, to be their biggest fans. If older generations, and listen to me, if the older generations will not bless the younger generations and instead complain and criticize and get negative, they are inadvertently pronouncing a curse on the future of the church. And that's tragic. We can't do that. Bless future generations. Even if you don't care for their style or concerned about this or that, bless and do not curse. Let's make 2017 a year of blessing and not cursing, shall we? And the best way to do that is to just bless others. Say it frequently. God bless you, even to those who curse you. You do that and blessing will come to you as well. Because God is able to even turn cursings into blessings. In the Old Testament, there's a story where an enemy of God's people named Balak hired a prophet to speak a curse. He gave him money, said, I want you to speak a curse on God's people. But through a wild series of circumstances, including a talking donkey, this prophet for hire, Balaam, couldn't curse God's people, even though he tried. And it was turned into a blessing. So whatever curses may be intended by the enemy to be over you in the name of Jesus, they are turned to blessings. So bless others in Jesus' name. A third choice we have as we think about the future is vessel or victim. All right, vessel or victim. I can give you one sure way that you won't see what God can do in 2017, is that is if you choose to be a victim, to allow yourself to be a victim. Now, let me be clear. Many people have had terrible, terrible things happen to them that they didn't choose. And I'm not minimizing the tragic nature of those things. We can all say that we have been victimized in some way in life. But that doesn't mean that we have to be victims. And what I mean by that is this. If we look at what has happened to us, how people have hurt us, how life has been unfair, and we look to the future and we think, well, God can't do that because of this. And if we decide that good cannot come to us because of what's been done to us, if we only see negative in the future and we blame it on someone who wronged us or something that happened to us, then we have chosen victimhood. Please know, again, I do not dismiss that how terrible the things are that may have been done to you and how hard it can be to move on from that. But we can begin to see our world through the lens of our victimization, and that makes everything dark. And God doesn't want that for us. Again, God does not want us to live that way. There is another way. Rather than being victims, we can be vessels. All right? A vessel is a container that's empty, ready to be filled. And so for us to choose to be vessels means this. Rather than looking at what has been taken from us, we look to God and say, Lord, I'm here. I may be empty, but I am here waiting for you to fill me. And so make me what you want me to be. Use me however you want me to want to use me. All right? I am change in your pocket. Spend me however you want, Lord. And I've seen it. I have seen it. Many of you have at least heard a testimony of someone like this. There are people here among us today who could easily have chosen victimhood because of their circumstances, but instead they chose to be vessels for God to use. And I can't think of anything more wonderful and beautiful than seeing that happen in a person, to make that choice. Instead of victimhood, which would have been easy, they said, Lord, I'm a vessel, fill me. Folks, God has really significant things that he wants to do through you. And I am not asking you to pretend that your troubles aren't there or to live in denial. I'm saying, come to God in your brokenness and offer yourself to him as a vessel. David, in Psalm 109 that I'd referred to earlier, again, speaking of his enemies, and this relates to the last point, he said, they may curse, but you will bless. God, they may curse, but you will bless. Can we believe that today? That even if a person is unkind and speaks ill of us, curses us, victimizes us in some way, that God can bless us in spite of that. We don't have to live as victims of the cursings, the evil words and actions of others. God can turn someone's curse into a blessing for us. And you know what? He did that for a guy like Joseph in the Old Testament, right? Remember all the terrible things that people did to him, but he never became a victim. Instead, he could look his brothers in the eye, the ones who threw him into a pit and sold him into slavery. He said, you meant it for evil. God meant it for good. What a perspective, huh? I mean, what you meant for evil, you meant to victimize me, but God used it to bless me. And as I offer myself as a vessel, he will fill me and use me. And Joseph became the king's right-hand man, second in command of a nation. Vessel or victim? It's an important choice. Number four, a choice we have to make as we think about the future. Vision or blindness? Vision or blindness? The text in 1 Corinthians indicates that those who really are in touch with the Spirit of God are able to see things that others are not able to see. That's called vision, okay? And the Bible says without vision, people perish, because the opposite of vision is blindness. And of course, we're not talking about physical sight or blindness. We're talking about spiritual sight or blindness. And here's the danger. Here's the danger. Most of us can say that we see now more than we've seen in the past. Or we can point to someone who can't see what we see, and we can feel very superior, like we see it all now. But Jesus really rebuked those who were too proud to recognize their blindness. In John chapter 9, Jesus gave sight to a blind man. This guy was born blind. He never knew what it was like to see until Jesus opened his eyes as an adult. Wow. But of course, the Pharisees found some way to have a problem with that. And Jesus said, I came into the world so that the blind will see, and those who think they can see will become blind. And the Pharisees said, what? You think we're blind too? And Jesus said basically this. He said, if you admitted your blindness, you'd be okay. But since you claim you can see it all, your guilt remains. Folks, what I'm getting to is this. The first step toward being a person of true vision is being humble enough to say, God, I don't see what you see. I have blind spots. God, I need you to open my eyes and help me see what I don't see now. I need you to show me things, God. And then God can show you what Paul refers to here about what no eye has seen, right? But God sees, and he's prepared it for you. Vision is difficult in a world that is faithless and loves to mock people of vision. And let me just say to you who are humble enough to accept it, don't let others steal your vision. Keep asking, God, show me. And keep persistently praying and acting and believing in the direction of the vision that God gives you. And for those of you who tend to squash the vision of others, a sincere warning. God will hold you accountable for dreams that you've destroyed for others. And I don't want anybody to face the consequences of that. Again, vision or blindness, it's an important choice. So, dream a little. For 2017, dream a little. For the year ahead, believe again in what God is able to do. Ask God, what is it, Lord, that maybe I gave up on believing? That I shouldn't have given up on believing you for this, but I did. I let it be put on the shelf. What hope you need to renew in your heart. The book of Ecclesiastes has an interesting phrase, and it says, God has set eternity in the human heart. God has set eternity in the human heart. What does that mean? I believe that's getting at the same thing the Apostle Paul is getting at, that we have the ability in our hearts to catch a glimpse of the amazing things that God can do, wonderful, eternal things that he has planned, if we're just willing to believe and be still long enough to listen. And so, let's face the year ahead, first of all, with faith, not fear, with blessing, not cursing, not as victims, but as vessels for the Lord to fill, and not with blindness, but with vision for what God can do. You know, I just keep coming back to what Jesus taught us to pray when he said, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is a good prayer to pray for 2017. Folks, Jesus died. Jesus shed his blood to provide the power for that prayer to become reality, that his kingdom would come, his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. I believe that God wants to make 2017 a new season for us, a year when his kingdom, his rule expands and his will is done in our hearts in a new measure, and blessing will flow because of it. So to that end, let's pray, shall we?